Recently, I went out to dinner with my daughter, Rebecca, in Chapel Hill. And we went out for a quick bite to eat. And when we were finished, Rebecca needed some things at the store, some milk and bread and some other things, washcloths. And we went to the local Target, one of those super Targets, you know, where you can get everything. We got the cart, and we're going through the aisles, and Rebecca's putting things in the cart. And all of a sudden, she notices she has this, like, little cut on her finger. And she didn't realize it. She looked down at her pants. The blood had gotten on her pants. She goes, what did I do? And you know, just a little nick. You know how they can bleed a lot. So we figured probably picking something off a shelf, hit something. So she says, let me run into the bathroom and see if I can wash this off and just get it to stop bleeding. So I said, okay. So I waited. And she came out, and she had some paper wrapped around it. She said, I can't get this darn thing to stop bleeding. So I said, well, let me go get some Band-Aids. So good, I'll keep going up and down the aisles, and I had to go to the other end of the store to find the Band-Aids. So I get the Band-Aids, and I came back, and I said, Rebecca, I found the Band-Aids. Let's put one on your finger. The pressure will stop the bleeding. Rebecca says, no, we haven't paid for it yet. I said, that's all right. No one's going to bother us. Just take the Band-Aid out and put it on, and we pay for it when we go out. And she says, no. She says, a while back, I was in a store, and I saw someone with a cart, and they were opening something up they wanted to use while they're in the store. This person happened to be African American, and one of the clerks in the store came over to him and said, "What are you doing?" With this real suspicious, aggressive, you didn't pay for that yet. It's not yours. And it was really challenging him. And Rebecca remembered that, and she says, we probably could open the Band-Aids and no one would challenge us because of the privilege we have. But I'm not feeding into that injustice. I said, whoa. I was proud of her. She said, we'll put the Band-Aid on when we get out to the car. I said, okay. So, sometimes we can be in a moment. All I wanted to do was stop the bleeding on my daughter's finger with a Band-Aid, but lost something. So I was coming at this from a particular point, a certain viewpoint, but my daughter had had a different experience and saw it perhaps in a different way. It reminds me of, I've said this before, shared this quote with you of Richard Rohr, that every viewpoint is a view from a point. Every viewpoint is a view from a point. And all of us have points of view that can have to do with the, to use the symbol of standing in this point. It's how perhaps we were raised, what we were taught, our family, our demographics, what we think. It's part of all of us. And so we view things the way we view them. But someone over here who perhaps is standing in a different point, perhaps has a different experience of life, different background, different view, perhaps has a different view. And you could turn to them and say, do you see what I see? And they may stand over here and say, I don't think so. Do you see what I see? And it's that way of being able to be in relationship with one another that can open us to different views. We can only do that so often, though, is by changing the point from where we are. We may not be able to come from the experience that brought someone to that point, but at least being able to understand it or listen to it or be in relationship with it is so important today. I feel that in many ways we've fallen into a time in our lives where it's become almost difficult to be open to another viewpoint. And we more defend our point. This is the point where I stand, and this is where I'm staying. And we defend rather than try to open ourselves to relationship, to understand the other viewpoint. just to understand it is so significant. Yet we find that difficult. We've gotten into a time, I think, where we find it difficult to even know how to disagree. We don't even know how to disagree anymore. We become so entrenched sometimes. There's a theologian, he's a Jesuit. His name is John Courtney Murray. He was a great, in my opinion, a great theologian in the mid-20th century, and had a great influence on some of the renewal of the church in the 1960s. And John Courtney Murray, this is a quote I recently saw that probably would just have, I would have just read right by it. But you know, sometimes you read things from a context, from a place. And this is the quote of John Courtney Murray. He says, "Disagreement is actually a very difficult thing to reach. Disagreement is actually a very difficult thing to reach because it requires a generosity of mind, an openness of heart, and the willingness, the freedom to be wrong. Disagreement is actually a very difficult thing to reach." That's very challenging. We have to learn that skill. How can we just be able to disagree and yet continue to be in relationship and change and work together to make this world a better place? I think that's something in our own time that is a value that we could try to reach for again. The reason I bring this up is it's all of this is meant to lead us to the gospel that we just read. Because I think sometimes that the gospel that we've just heard may be very difficult to hear from the point where we view things. Maybe it's not true of everybody. But the viewpoint where we stand, sometimes we can't even hear that gospel reading and what it was about. The ministry of Jesus, and Luke is picking up on this in Luke's gospel today, the ministry of Jesus was predominantly to those on the margins, to those on the periphery of culture, to the poor, to the oppressed, to the enslaved, to those who had felt they had no hope, to those who had no sense of influence or power in the society and culture around them. And the society and the culture at that time was pretty pleased with that. Keep the marginalized where they are, and nothing's going to change. But Jesus was reaching out to those folks. And what Luke is doing in the gospel today is continuing, over the last couple of weeks we've been reading this, but continuing to share this teaching to those who have no power, to those who have no influence, to those who are just surviving, to those whose cheeks are slapped, to those who are cursed, to those who are beaten up, to those who have their clothing stolen, to those who experience just this power over them. What's interesting is the scriptures speak of that. A few hundred years later, what's so interesting in the history of Christianity, a few hundred years later, we would go from that church to a church where the leaders of the Christian community were crowning the emperor. Wow, what a leap that was. And perhaps we forgot some of this rootedness, this sense of the suffering and reaching out. And so the gospel today, in some ways, is calling us to really enter into that experience of the suffering, the oppressed, those without power, and hear this gospel read to them. Many believe that this particular gospel section and other parts of Scripture are really some of the rootedness of what is called nonviolence, nonviolent ways of living. Sometimes it's difficult to hear that teaching. This was the teaching that Dr. Martin Luther King used in his work. Gandhi, who was actually Hindu, life was based around this idea of nonviolence. What it's saying is, If you're slapped in the cheek, most of us will slap right back. You curse me, well, I'll curse you, you know. You steal something from me, watch out. You know that. And what it is it's really a participation in that way of living. It's, you know, it's a participation in the sense of power over the other. Well, you have power over me. Well, my goal is to have power over you. I mean, that's that cycle. And what the thinking of nonviolence is, that it's so counterintuitive. It's so difficult to hear this. What the theology of nonviolence is, that I refuse to participate in that. So you slap my cheek, slap the other. You take my coat, here, let me give you my shirt. You curse me, I'm going to pray for you. It's almost pushing back this sense of power over me. I'm not going to strive to then have power over you. I'm going to strive to find a way that we can break down that system, be in relationship with each other, and have power with. Power is a good thing, but to have power with one another and not exclude certain people from that experience. That's the theology of nonviolence, and that's a challenging theology. And yet, that is at the root of this gospel reading today in many ways. It's difficult to read that gospel reading unless you are someone who's had your cheeks slapped, your clothing stolen, you're cursed, the society around you just shuts you out. Read it from that point of view and hear the power of this message to somehow overcome that, to not allow power over you to rule your life, but find a way to break down that kind of a system. I think that's something that's important for us to begin to engage with, to be in conversation with, to listen to each other's viewpoints and really listen and understand and be in relationship with each other. To break down what sometimes happens in cultures and societies. It's happening now, and it's happened throughout history. We are very comfortable with keeping people at the margins. We're very good at keeping the other away from us. We're very eased with, that's just the way people's lives have led them to. And not really take on the gospel of trying to reach out and find ways together to have power to change this world around us. That helps us, helps all. As we go forward. So I share those thoughts today. I'm proud of my daughter, who challenged me in a Target about a Band-Aid, and yet it brought to light how easily we can just live in our patterns and not ever realize the power and the depth of the gospel and what Jesus calls us to. So let us go forth this day, realizing there are other viewpoints, and coming to meet each other in that journey together, and come in many ways to the view that Jesus calls us to, the view that is about changing this world and going forth and bringing about the love of God.